Hello, folks. I'm here to tell you about HelloGiggles.com. Founded by actress-musician Zoe Dashnell, producer Sophia Rossi, and blogger web personality Molly McAleer, HelloGiggles.com is the ultimate entertainment destination for smart, independent, and creative females. Everything hosted on the site will be lady-friendly, so visitors need not worry about finding the standard boys' club content that makes many entertainment sites so unappealing to so many of us. So if you want to find out some entertainment news, entertainment facts, entertainment things, for ladies, go on down to HelloGiggles.com. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, I'm Johnny.
All right. Hello. I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a fantastic show for you today. The great Amy Achley is returning to the show. She was on sometime back, like a year and a half ago, or maybe even 2 years ago. She was on the show, and she is putting out an album called Where You Go that comes out Tuesday, April 1st. 2014. You can get it. Go to amyachley.com and find out what's going on with that. But we have a great conversation. We catch up. We just talk about a lot about life and how life changes and how putting out records has changed and that kind of thing, which is fascinating me right now because I'm contemplating releasing singles and just kind of putting them out, you know, maybe once a month or once every couple of weeks or something. I have a lot of songs that I've recorded over the last couple of years that I haven't ever done anything with. And songs that I got to record. So maybe I'm going to start doing that. I don't know. She put out a whole album. She's got a album release party on April 5th. If you are in Austin, you can see her at the 1-to-1 bar, Saturday, April 5th, from 7:30 to 9. She'll be playing. That's a long set, hour and a half, a lot of Amy Achley music. Get down there. If you live in Austin, I guarantee you it's going to be great. She's a fantastic artist, and we have a great conversation. So before we get to that conversation, let me give you an update on my thumb. All right, my thumb is, as you know, I fell on it on Saturday. I went off into the crowd to hype the crowd, went running back and jumped onto the stage. It was a low stage, but apparently not low enough for me. My pants were a little tight, so I couldn't stretch my legs as far as I wanted to. Hit the lip of the stage, kind of almost made it, which my friend Kyle pointed out. I thought you almost made it, that's what he said. And I thought so too, and then no, I didn't. Bam, I fall, whap, right on the thumb, bends backwards. Total swelling, pain. I went to Dallas on Tuesday and played a gig. I was playing keyboards, and it wasn't that bad. I mean, I've been taking, you know, a leave and stuff, and the swelling has gone down a lot, and the discoloration is gotten a lot more under control. But I've got a brace on it that I got, and I'm doing that. But playing that gig on Tuesday in Dallas, that was a lot of fun. Went up there, did the Song Division thing. Me and Kyle Crusham from Skyrocket, and also Chris Gebbard from Sheboygan. You've heard him on the show. And our friend David Sanger from Sleep at the Wheel, who you've heard on the show. And our friend Teal, who you will hear on the show from the Whiskey Sisters. She will be coming on very soon, and we're going to be doing a thing. Anyway, so I went up and I did that with them. We had a great time. I've tried to explain it before, and each time it's a little bit different. But this time what we did was it's a corporate sort of event, and you go and help these people write a song about the goals that they're trying to achieve at this corporate event. Like, you know, they're trying to do something this year. And so you incorporate that into the song. They write the lyrics. You write the music. You perform it with them. Then we did a rock and roll game show where we played all these like little bits of songs and people had to guess or whatever. And there was a lot of funny things that happened during that. It's very fun and exciting. And then the great part was we got to jam at the end with our friend Angus, who was running the show there. And he's an amazing guitar player, plays with Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And the guy's amazing. He's an amazing, amazing musician. Great guy to hang with, too. There's always like a little, you know, couple hours that you get to just sit around a table and shoot the shit. And we had a great time talking. And anyway, had a great time, drove back that night, went and rehearsed with Skyrocket yesterday. And then, let me tell you guys this, quick update on a personal note. A couple weeks ago, around the South by Southwest time, I talked about how I was leaving a party, and I went up and asked a girl out. And I gave her my card, and I was like, take this, my email's on it, email me. And, well, I thought it was stupid. I came on the show and I said, you know, oh, that was retarded or something like that. I wish I could play it back right now. Anyway, she wrote me. Yeah, she did. And we ended up going to dinner last night on a date, and it was great. I had a great time with her, getting to know her. Nice person, and great food. Great times. Pretty loud, though. It was a very loud restaurant. Let me plug a couple things before we get to the conversation with Amy. Number one, I'm playing with Sweat and Lotion at the Charlie Hodge Show at the Cap City Comedy Club Monday night, March 31st in Austin, Texas. If you're here, go to the Cap City Comedy Club. It's going to be great comics. Great friend, Lucas Melendez. Great friend, John Toll. Great friend, Ryan County. Okay, all those guys have been on the show. You've never heard the one with John Toll because that's the one that I accidentally erased. He will be back on the show. I love that guy. Charlie is super funny, always has great shows, and I get to sit in playing some funk guitar with my friends in Sweat and Lotion, which I'm looking forward to. Okay, then Thursday, April 10th, from 8 to 8:45, if you are in Austin, Texas, then as well, you can come see me play a solo show at the 1-to-1 Bar. That's on South Lamar, across from the Saxon Pub. The 1-to-1 Bar, I will be doing a solo acoustic show. My friend Ryan Holly will be playing. Paco Estrada will be playing. A lot of guys will be playing that night. You can find out more about it if you go to Johnny Gowdy Music on Facebook. Okay, and also, if you haven't liked this Facebook page, our Facebook page for How Did I Get Here, you can go to the How Did I Get Here Facebook page, like it, see pictures of what's going on. You can actually see a picture of me and today's guest, Amy Achley, whose new album, Where You Go, comes out Tuesday, April 1st, 2014, and she has a record release show at the 1-to-1 Bar where I will be playing on April 10th. She will be there on April 5th, 2014, from 7:30 to 9 p.m., doing her album release party. All right, so Amy and I caught up a couple years ago, ended up running into her at the awards show, told her, hey, aren't you making an album? I saw a Kickstarter or something. She said, yes, I am. It's about to come out. Let's get together and talk. So we did. It was great. Always great to hang out with a family member like Amy. Always great to hang out with her fabulous husband, Elias Hasslinger, who, of course, is incredibly talented and a great friend. All right? So without further ado, let's talk to Amy Achley. Let's get down.
It was a red, red light. Everybody watched you running. Everybody watched you walk away. You may be lonely. You try to make your way home. You may be the only one, but you know where to go. Stop starting fine.
Yeah. Check 1, 2. So you didn't play.
I didn't play, which was a great... Did you play?
You know, I did. I played once, and I wasn't, you know, planning on playing. I just got a phone call, like, I don't know, 2 weeks before, do you want to do this? And I was like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was kind of nice. It was a very different South By experience this year.
It was.
Was it for you too? Yeah.
I think the general experience was really different for people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do.
Think it's a very different... It's not just that Doritos thing, but it is. You know what I mean? It's kind of like what that symbolizes.
Yeah.
And then it just seemed like all of the offshoot, all the people that kind of try and have their own festival during the time, those were the ones that were really upsetting me because they were coming to me like, hey, can I go on your thing and like talk about how shitty South by Southwest is and how they're trying to shut down my festival. And I'm like, well, if you then have your festival in May.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do that.
Well, see, that's so funny is every year what I have done, I would say in the last like 6 years or so, is, you know, kind of do the offshoot things, which is so fun.
I have too.
And but this year was a little bit different. I mean, I always walk away discovering new music but this year was like supporting all of my Austin people, you know, and it was just, I definitely like was much more of like running into people, like running into you. That was just so fun. And it was just kind of more of that experience.
Well, I'll tell you, the best part of the whole South by Southwest for me was going to that awards and being in that room and kind of this huge personal discovery that I made about myself going in there was everyone's, you guys, this is my family.
Like, I know, I had a fucking tribe. That's what I loved.
This would be, like, if I had to identify myself with a group of people, that is literally the group of people that I'm a part of.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
It felt so good. I mean, I really, that night was so magical like that. And I thought it was just really well done. And I kind of gained like a little, you know, kind of deep respect for Andy Langer, who's holding the whole thing together. You know, I hadn't ever really seen it quite like that from, I mean, man, he
that
can't
guy
miss
is unbelievable,
a,
man.
Can't miss a beat. I know.
He's there at 6 in the morning.
Wow.
Or at 5:30 in the morning doing the KGSR broadcast and like, yeah, he is, he real, that's interesting. He is a hero.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw him the next morning and he was, you know, ready to go.
Wow.
I did have a lot to drink at that thing.
I did too.
Good.
The reason
why I wasn't the only one.
Well, you know why I had a lot to drink is because I waited forever in the line. And so when I got up there, I just went ahead and ordered myself 2 drinks. So I did just the 2 drink thing, like right off the bat. And so there I started myself going.
Okay, your new album, Where You Go?
Yeah.
Available April 1st.
April 1st, yeah.
April Fool's Day.
April Fool's Day.
So is this an EP? Because it has 7 songs. That's what I was trying. Okay.
It's an EP, and, you know, it definitely is one of those things where, you know, you're putting your own record out and you have the budget restraints, so you kind of do what you can as far as, you know, studio time and whatnot.
Well, you did a Kickstarter.
I did. I did a Kickstarter and I doubled my funding and it's helped quite a bit. So just sort of take that edge off and helped. It covered all of the recording and packaging for the CD, but everything else is
there's so much more.
You know, so much more. Yeah.
And you work at a regular job?
I do.
Is that a lot of hours?
You know, it's a really neat, I mean, it's your regular, you know, full-time. I just started full-time again in October. And when my littlest one started kindergarten. So I was like, it's time. I gotta put these kids through college. So it's time to make a little bit of money and also, you know, be able to continue doing my art.
Yeah.
So.
And you work at Meals on Wheels. I guess it's a fulfilling job. Personally, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I love getting up. It kind of helps me get there, you know, knowing that I'm going to help somebody today. So
do you deliver? Because there's a picture.
I do, Well, everyone on staff there, what I do for them is I help them raise money. They're all their online fundraising.
Okay.
And do work on their email program and their website. But we all are on backup there to drive when volunteers cancel. And a group of friends that I work with there, we have our own route that we deliver. So I deliver once a month on Wednesdays on a regular basis. So I have my little people that I know.
Yeah.
And I mean, one woman is just so amazing. She always makes me feel good about the world. You know, I deliver a meal to her, but she won't let me leave without a smile. And she just wants to talk about everything I'm into. What am I doing? I mean, it's amazing.
That is awesome. You
know? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get to the music. So this was produced by Daniel Stapleton. Who is that?
He goes by Danny Stapleton. And I would say he's...
I know him.
You know him. He is a guitar player.
Yes.
And he's does the sound at Stubbs.
Yes. Of course I know Danny.
Yeah.
I know Danny well. Sorry. I just get confused sometimes with last names.
He is, you know, I would say an emerging producer. You know, he has been involved with my music for a while.
Has he?
Yeah.
He's been producing... He used to work at the music lab.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Yeah. And I think he's really starting to get his thing going and his sound. And it was just really nice to get to work with someone I'm so familiar with. And I think he did a great job.
Yeah. And he's a really nice guy, too. I bet that's a nice guy to have to be in the studio locked away with.
He's so one of those type of guys that's like, he won't stop until he gets it right. And you know, he's just so, he has really huge ears and, you know, he can be a little
that's
bossy.
That's kind of mean. No, I'm joking. He has huge ears.
They're huge. It's just, I can barely sit in the same room with him. But no, it was a lot of fun, a little intense at times. But it was all good.
What do you mean a little intense at times?
He's a little bossy.
Is he?
With all the love and respect, I say that just because he knows what he wants. But, you know, I know what I want too. So we could have, fair conversations about things. And we came to a good agreement.
That's good.
Yeah.
And so how long, did you go in and do it in one sitting? Because you have a band and they played on it, right? With Seth and Glenn.
Yeah, this was a fun way to... I've never recorded a record like this. We laid down all the piano and all the way that I wrote the song, whether it be piano or guitar, we laid those tracks down first, and then we went back and got the rhythm tracks and build up from there.
Okay.
So, and we recorded... right now I'm babysitting a little big baby grand piano.
Oh, you were last time too.
Yeah,
right?
Oh, was I? So I still
I
am.
So.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Well, we still have it, and it's a 1927 Steinway. It's a friend of ours that their parents are moving. They downsized from New York, and they said, take the piano now, or you can't keep it, because they had to get rid of it. And so the guy called, and it's actually David Hamburger. I don't know if you know who he is, but he's a guitar player here in town. Great, great guitar player. But he called and said, hey, can you guys keep this in your living room? And we were like, yes.
Oh, yeah. Is something going to happen? Are you going to get a call one day?
We're going to get that call.
You are?
Yeah, but we don't know when, so.
Oh, Jesus, that's awful.
I know. I don't know what we're going to do when it goes away.
It's like a ticking time bomb.
It is. So
it's like fostering a child.
I know, it is. It's so amazing. I mean, it's so wonderful. We actually have an upright too, but it's a little out of tune, but it's kind of nice because we can have two people playing music on the piano at the same time in the house if need be,
And you do it? You guys do that?
Yeah.
Can you play jazz?
I'm not a jazz player. No, I'm not.
Does that drive Eli crazy?
I don't think so. I mean, I think we both like what we do, you know, kind of just stay out of each other's way on that,
Okay. All right, so you were saying that you recorded the songs on piano. Were you recording them on the grand piano?
Yeah, we did all the piano and drums in my house.
Oh, awesome.
And
they sound great, too.
I know.
Yeah, Danny did a great job.
Did a great job. And the room, we weren't sure we were going to do that. We knew we were going to do the piano because pretty much, it's just got just this pristine sound. We said, let's try the drums. And we loved what we were getting right off the bat, so... That's what we did.
Were your kids there when they were doing that?
For some of it.
That's cool to get to be around that. You
oh,
know?
Yeah.
Did they like it?
They did. They love it. But, for them, this kind of stuff is just kind of what we do. It's not. It's not anything, people are always like, oh, they must just love seeing you perform. I mean, it's just kind of what we do and,
Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
You know what's funny is I heard this great story. You remember Martin and all those guys, that worked with us in Gowdy,
Scottish
mafia.
Oh my
gosh.
Well,
part of that, they weren't, but that's what I used to call them. Jim Kerr was part of their thing, the guy from Simple Minds.
Mm.
And he told us this amazing story one night about, he has kids with Chrissy Hynde.
Oh my gosh. That's right.
And,
I totally
and
forgot
Chrissy
that.
Hynde was best friends with Linda McCartney. Oh, for man. Many reasons, but also they did a lot of PETA stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so they would spend Christmas together.
Uh-huh.
And so he had Chrissy Hynde's kids or his child with Chrissy Hynde or whatever. Or I don't know if it's Ray Davies. I don't know, something. But he had the child, and the kid was bummed out because they were going to go spend Christmas with the McCartneys. And Jim Kerr was like, oh, my God, I wish they'd invite me. That'd be so amazing. You get to spend Christmas with Paul McCartney. She's like, no, it's terrible. He gets drunk and he starts talking about the Beatles forever and all this stuff. And you realize that these kids, they are, it's just their parents. It's just what their parents and their parents' friends and what their parents do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's neat. I mean, they're kind of, submerged in all this music and beauty. I love that. But yeah, they don't know the difference.
No. But do they listen to Eliza's stuff too? And
They do. I mean, they listen to everything, but... they tend to like their own stuff a little bit better. We really, when they, first started out, immediately out of the womb, they were in the womb, listening to classical music and, Eli's music, my music. And, the first stuff that they really loved was, the Ryan Adams stuff. And
oh, wow, that's cool.
Nick Drake and all this. But now they're really wanting that top 40 stuff because that's what they're getting at school.
Yeah. How old are they?
5 and 7.
Okay. Yeah, I bet the 7. We got like One Direction.
I don't know about One Direction.
Oh, you don't?
Uh-uh.
Oh, it's a boy band.
Okay. They probably do.
Yeah, they should.
So.
Yeah, I've got little sisters that are into it.
Yeah, it's really cute stuff. So, I can tolerate that a lot more now. I kind of enjoy it, so.
I think of what you do as, I was thinking this when I was listening to it earlier. I think of this as pop music in a way. But it's not in the same world of pop music that's pop music now. I mean, I think I make pop music, but it's definitely not in the same world of pop music that makes pop music now.
Yeah.
What are the avenues that you see? Like, what do you see yourself as? And I'm not trying to be weird, but like, these are questions that we have to.
I know, right? Exactly.
And we have to ask. Like, how do you see yourself? Because in this day and age, we're not just a I don't know if you have a publicist or something, or
I do. I work with Jill McGuckin.
Oh, she's great. Yeah. But you know what I mean. You have to. You still have to do this thing. You still have to come here and do this. Mm-hmm. And you got to tweet about your life and Instagram the gig and breakfast.
I do know.
And I mean, how are you coping with it? Where do you see your stuff going? And how do you feel about it?
Well,
it takes balls.
I do. Sorry. It does. I mean, I think. You know, I have to agree with you. I mean, and I do see your stuff the same way. Pop song is a pop song, and I think you and I come from sort of that same,
An era.
An era of what a pop song is. And I certainly don't fall into what you would today call pop song. But if I have to describe myself, that's certainly one of the top three descriptors.
What are the other two songs?
I would say, it incorporates a little bit of indie rock and I think a little adult alternative.
Yeah.
But it's, everyone always wants to put that in, put your niche in there. And I really think it's, I think of like Bon Iver. I mean, if you have just one particular song that happens to catch someone at the right time, then you can fall into whatever category, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping, with just getting the record out, I'm always hoping to, reach that right person. But as far as where do I see myself going, I just see myself writing songs and making records and, trying to get, just striving to get to the next level every day. So I do a lot of it on my own, but I've had some help along the way with Jill and some other people have stepped forward, and hopefully we'll see what happens.
I was hoping that's what you're going to say, because you and I have stayed in it. We still do it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys people that we started out with that kind of dropped out. I mean, not a lot of them. It's kind of weird. There are just a whole lot of people from what I would call our class of artists, but to keep going and to keep on it in the face of, there's not that payoff. I remember a South by Southwest where our bands played together, and there was that Neil Young guy that was there. I think we might have talked about this last time. There isn't that sort of thing.
Yeah,
now
not
that
so much.
You're trying to, there isn't as much of a brass ring,
mm-hmm.
and to know that you're creating without any thought of huge payoff is amazing, and that's why we should be doing it. So I applaud you twice.
Oh, well,
A for
you.
Doing it, and B for doing it in the face of an industry that's kind of not what we came up with and doesn't really have much of a payoff. I mean,
yeah,
it would be great to hear these songs placed somewhere or something.
Love that.
Yeah.
And definitely working towards that. And, I have to say one interesting conference that's happening that reminded me a little bit, right? I just went recently to the Folk Alliance conference.
Oh, yeah.
And that has the sort of essence of early South by Southwest. And, I think there's a lot of people out there doing it just because they have to.
Yeah.
And that was a really, it was a beautiful experience getting to hang with all those artists, and just, we all sort of shared that sentiment, So it's definitely there. And I think it's out there if you want to do it. I mean, it's not easy, but I guess, we kind of have to do it.
Do you feel a kinship with that scene? I mean, it seems to me like your stuff is more, it's whenever I think of like folk, I think of like, grown-ups like singing about real serious things.
Well, I tell
not
you,
not that you're not, but you know what I mean, like
they're
not,
depends
I don't
on
think
who
of them
you
as
ask
pop people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do think that, and it definitely, my stuff was a little different. I did get to play quite a bit, and some of the things I did were within the round, you know, other songwriters, and these folks are doing things where the lyrics are really epic, and you know, they kind of go on and on. I'm kind of like to the point. It's like, here's my verse, here's my chorus. I'm going to throw a sweet little bridge in, and then I'm out. It was, I think, refreshing to have the variety there. And what was there were other people like myself, too. Like, David Garza was there, and we hung out and played together. And, you know, his stuff is not folk, but people eat it up, you know.
No, but so, he's always done like the, what's the thing that they have out there by? The Kerrville Folk Festival.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would love to do that. Is that my audience? I mean, I don't know. I think
it could be. I mean, because if they like good music. I think that's what folk has turned, like, Americana and folk is just like the good music that isn't getting played places.
Yeah, yeah, the song, you know what I mean? Singer-songwriter stuff. Yeah, definitely, I do. And they, you know, they had a lot of, you know, people that were really very traditional, but then they had other folks like myself that were doing something a little different.
And they embrace it.
They did. They embrace it, and it's such an incredible experience, I have to say. I mean, sort of a nerve-wracking performance experience because your whole audience are your, you know, colleagues and songwriters and singers, and they're like, they are waiting for you on every note, you know. So it's rather intense, but it's also in a loving environment too.
What is it? Where was it?
It was in Kansas City.
Okay, and was it in clubs?
No. So what they do is they rent out like two floors of this hotel room. They have like your typical conference during the day, you know, where they have the exhibit room with people from Taylor Guitars and booking agents, and you know.
And are there fans going to this too?
Fans can go. Okay. Fans can go. And they have an official performance time from like 6 to 10 or so. And that's when some of the fans go, but it's also mostly artists, you know. And then after hours is where the fun starts. It's like from 10 o'clock, 10:30 on until like wee hours in the morning are showcases. I mean, every single room is turned on these two floors is turned into a venue. And there's just show after show after show after show. And it's incredible, incredible music. It's crazy.
Did you take like a keyboard and...
I didn't. I ended up playing guitar on most of my showcases, but I booked, there was one room that was like keyboard based songwriters, and I booked her room, and I played a couple of showcases in her room. So it was very interesting. It was really cool. I met a lot of people, and it was just so magical. I just had a blast. And I went, it was funny because I traveled up with Elizabeth McQueen.
I love her.
And we kind of knew each other, but we ended up, you know, finding out that we, you know, had the same travel itinerary, and we just became such great buddies. Yeah. So that, I mean, things like that, you know, really make it worth it. And just kind of building that camaraderie back here.
Did you sing at her record release?
No, I didn't.
Okay. I thought you did. She had a lot of people sing there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I didn't. I, you know, she and I really connected at Folk Alliance, so.
She's great.
I love her.
Yeah, I'm playing with her husband tomorrow.
Oh, cool. Dallas.
Yeah.
David Sanger. For David what? Sanger. What is that for?
It's for a weird thing that's hard to explain. I've tried to explain it on this show a lot. I'm part of this. There's this company called Song Division.
Okay.
And they go to corporate events, like team building events.
Uh-huh.
And you get to write a song with rock stars.
Sweet.
And so you go there and you do a song with these people. And it's a very unique and different thing. That sounds real weird, but it's really cool, and it's a lot of fun.
It sounds awesome.
Yeah, and it pays well. So
that's such a cool niche idea.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing, and they do huge corporations. Like, you know, I've done them for Conoco and, like, Time Warner Cable and stuff. And man. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm playing with him at that tomorrow. Do you, did Elizabeth play too? Did she?
She did, yeah. She played too.
Wow, it happens every year?
It happens every year. I mean, I think you should go next year. Just, it's a blast, Johnny. I mean, it's so fun. And just such creative people. Incredible. It's really inspiring.
How many people are there? If it's two floors of a hotel, I'm trying to imagine. I mean, is it like
it's about 2,000 people.
Oh, that is a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
But in each performance, there's probably like max 20 in a room, right?
About.
Because it's a hotel room. Because that's all
that fits, yeah. I mean, people pack them in, you know. So
That's really intense. Like, it usually is intense. No PA or anything, just like kicking
some
it.
Of the rooms had PAs. Some of them did, but most of them don't. So, you know. And you can bring a bunch of gear, but I'm just not going to travel like that.
And you didn't, you know. You did it solo, no band.
I did it solo.
Or did David play with you?
David and I played a kind of a little offshoot thing together. We, you know, traded songs and stuff. But he played with me and David Halley and Tish Hinojosa too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
David Halley was there. I love that guy.
Isn't he great?
Yeah, and name some more people that were there. This is exciting for
yeah,
me.
Well.
Oh, he has a new album coming out, doesn't he?
I think he does.
I need to get a hold of him.
I think he does. Who else was out there? So many people. Betty Sue was out there and Will Sexton and...
oh, what about...
Brian Standifer was out there playing with her. They had a great room with Red... was it Volkart?
Oh, yeah. I love that dude, too.
And he and I had an amazing conversation. I had no idea he could play like that because I thought it was much more just sort of bluesy guitar thing.
Right.
His thing with... he played with Betty Sue, and it was just... had a little more edge to it. I mean, I was like, I want to work with him.
Yeah.
You know, he sounded incredible. I know everybody loves him anyway. He's amazing.
Yeah.
But I just saw him in a different light because it was a different venue for him, and it was beautiful. Gosh, who else was there? So many.
All right. Well, let's go to the album then. Okay. Let's go back to the album. So you had the band play on it. You recorded some of it in your house. Where else did you record it?
Danny's house? Yeah, Danny's studio. Exactly.
Okay. And, man, there's a lot of... what's your live band?
My live band is Billy Masters on guitar. He's also on the record.
Is he the guy that does the cool volume stuff? And the Ebo stuff?
He does, okay. Exactly.
He's
yeah.
Great.
And then there's Glenn McGregor on bass.
Oh, yeah. I miss him.
Yeah, he's a sweetie. We've been working together for a long time.
Seth, who I like a lot.
Seth O'Rell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Carolyn Hagler on cello. And Kevin Carroll is on ukulele.
And that's what's going to be playing live. And you're playing the 5th. Your show is the 5th at 1 to 1 Bar.
1 to 1, 7:30 to 9.
Okay. That's a long show.
That's a long show.
That's an hour and a half. But how many records have you put out?
This is my 4th solo record.
It is?
Yeah.
I thought there was a lot more.
No, that's it.
I put them out slow too.
Yeah. I guess it seems like I'm on this like 5-year schedule, but.
So since when did you put your first one out? Late 90s?
My first solo one in the 90s. Yeah. Mid 90s. Yeah. And then I did one when I was in New York and then one when I came back and now
right.
this.
Now this. So 5-year cycles. What's the difference between this one and the last one? Same band?
Because
you've been playing with Seth and Glenn for a while, haven't you?
I have. This has a little... I just think the songwriting is a little more specific.
Tell me about that.
I feel like...
There's a lot of your life in here? With the
I think a little bit more... I think it's a little bit more... a little bit more honed in. And the songs were written more in sort of as a collection as opposed to... you know what I mean? How you write songs as they go. And a lot of times I write songs in twos. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
But I wrote a bunch of these sort of at the same time. I had gotten to go to Hawaii with Eli. He was doing a jazz festival last January. And they said, well, you know, if Amy wants to come, you know, we'll put her up. So tell her to come. So I went to Hawaii. And I think last time I was here, we were talking about this. I was about
Sounds
to go.
Familiar.
And
yeah,
I was
yeah.
a little scared to leave the girls. But
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so you went.
Yeah, so I went. And I had a lot of downtime because Eli was rehearsing a lot and playing a lot. And the people that were hosting us were so sweet. And they said, well, what do you want to do, you know, besides explore and hang out? And I asked them to get me a guitar. And so they found a guitar, and I just wrote a bunch of songs. You know, I was out on this little plantation. It's beautiful, like lush, you know, everything you can imagine Hawaii to be, birds and, you know, and I'm just hanging out writing songs. So I feel like it was sort of inspired more of as a collection. And I think the album, when you listen to it as a whole, the record comes off a little bit more than, you know, just little singles kind of.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So is there one theme going through all the songs outside of, hey, this Hawaii is awesome?
Yeah, I don't even know if you really get that so much. But Not really. I don't think not a particular theme necessarily. It's but it definitely, I think that the tunes, you know, have a vibe to me that is a consistent thing.
Yeah.
Going on. So.
Definitely. And you know, you're a great musician and a great singer.
Oh, thank you.
Do you sing on a lot of stuff still? I know you did commercial work. We talked about that last time. Have you been doing any since we last talked? I mean, it's
the
not...
last thing I did that was really interesting is Eric Troyer from ELO. He is writing this musical with Jan Bozarth, who does the Fairy Godmother Academy stuff. She moved out to LA and they're doing the musical part of this project, Fairy Godmother Academy. And they came to Austin and I did two of the tracks with them for some of the female roles.
That is awesome.
It was awesome. That was a very amazing session.
Who was he in ELO? Like, what was he the guy?
He's one of the songwriters and he plays the piano.
Oh, he's that guy.
Yeah. Intense guy. Intense session, I have to say. So he sent me the music, the tracks, like a couple of weeks before, and key was totally wrong. So I got back to him and I was like, well, can we transpose these? He's like, yeah, no problem. And I asked him, you know, how do you want me to do this? Because he sang the demos. I was like, do you want it verbatim? You know? And he's like, well, you can do your own take on it, but you know, I want it pretty close, but you can do your own take on it. So that's how I learned the music. And so when I got in there, come to find out he actually wanted it verbatim. And his thinking of phrasing is like so unnatural for me, you know? So it was really intense, but we got it, you know? And it was, I mean, you know, very intricate stuff. You know, and I did the harmonies on there, and I did two other harmonies, and then he was going to add his final harmony.
So. You seem like you would definitely have a... I think when I worked with you, I don't think there was any, like, you were doing anything that needed to be worked on. Because I think when we asked you to come in and sing, we wanted you to come in and sing. And so when you came in, you did it right because it was you singing.
Yeah.
But I have that problem too because you have a unique character to your voice and a phrasing. That's the way that you sing. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time with that in Skyrocket. Like I can't sing anything given to me. I kind of already have to sound like that person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I can't really...
emulate someone
perfectly at all.
Right.
So
yeah, I know. And me too. And I have done some of that. I did a lot of that in New York and I don't think that I'm fantastic at it, although I got hired to do that sometimes.
But maybe they were hiring you and they knew what you did. But that is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because like,
that too. I think there's a combination of that. Those types of gigs, I mean, when you're doing commercial work or jingle work, you have an agent. I mean, basically, you start to build your profile, and it's like, these are the things that you do. Okay, well, she reads music. She has a really high soprano, if you want to go that direction. She sounds a little bit like Tori Amos. She's got a little bit of, you know, something else specific in her voice that we want, you know. So that's how they do it, and that's how they choose you to come in and audition for the demos.
Did you try out for any theater or anything when you were up there?
No,
Are you not a theater person?
Not a theater person.
No.
Not really.
Too calm?
I don't know. The schmaltzy stuff is not me. I didn't feel like an honest thing, but I'm not very good at it. That's why I'm more like good at doing kind of what I do, I think.
Yeah. And you know, man, you really have stayed true to yourself. Like the more I'm thinking about it, you've always just done your thing and never really been swayed. Like I don't remember ever hearing something of yours that didn't sound like it was just truly you and not even necessarily timeless, but not like stuck in a time. Like you never had like a 90s sound or something.
My 90s sound. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I think that's amazing.
I definitely feel like I know who I am.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I definitely, but.
So when you work with a producer, you co-produce.
I co-produce. Yeah,
do you
definitely.
Have an idea of what you want the outcome to be when you go in?
I do. And, you know, on this record, I didn't give myself co-production because looking back at all the other records, I don't really feel like I should have anyway because it's like you need to kind of give that up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A little bit.
And, it, you know, with an artist that writes their own songs, it's a given that there's some production being put into them. Especially, do you make your own demos? Like, do you do GarageBand thing or something?
You know, I don't. I don't.
You don't?
Mm-mm.
You just write songs straight up?
I just write them straight up.
And so when
record
you
record them on my phone.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's what you'd send to, like, Glenn and Seth, like, hey, I got a new song.
Yeah, send them that, or just definitely, yeah, send them that, or, you know, throw it up on YouTube and private view just for them. They've learned songs like that.
Wow. Have you ever done Stage It?
I haven't. What's Stage It?
You don't know what that is? Mm-hmm. It's this thing where you can do a concert from your own laptop, and you can charge admission. And like Bob Schneider does it, Kathy Valentine did it, and it was really
this.
Great.
I have been seeing this a lot. I didn't realize what it was called.
A&R wanted... This is so funny. A&R wanted to do... He wanted me and him to produce like a real Christmas special.
Cool.
And put it on Stage It and charge admission, and we would make all this money. But it was so much work, and I had so much Skyrocket work around that time that I was like, I don't think I can do it. Mm-hmm. And then the next year, Kelly Clarkson had like a Christmas special on NBC. But I did have time this Christmas time, and I was going to be like, hey, do you want to get together and do this thing? But then I started seeing commercials. I was like... Well, he's got the NBC special now. He probably doesn't want to do Stage It.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You never know. You know, y'all should do it in July.
Well, you know, we have a...
Get it ready
true.
To go.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what we talked about. That I was like, we should do this like in the summer and
that's
then have
That's why
it.
They do that.
But you have to do it live.
You got to do it live.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you've heard of Christmas in July, right?
That's right. There we could go. Do it then. But we actually have a show. We put together a podcast that we're going to do that's going to start in like... at the beginning of May.
Yay.
Me and him and our friend Ashley Bergeron. And it's about rock and roll movies.
That's awesome.
Because he's home for a while.
Is he? Yeah.
Yes.
Cool.
And he did have a couple of weeks ago, he had to have a kidney taken out.
Oh, no. Is he okay?
He's okay. I mean, it takes a long time to recover because they cut your stomach muscles. So
gosh.
You can't like laugh or stand up or sit up.
Aynar can't laugh.
I know. I'm not.
He's a laugher.
Probably not allowed to go to his house for
you
a while.
Better not.
Because that's all we do. I mean, that's all we've
He's
ever
hilarious.
Done.
Yeah,
he is hilarious.
I picture the two of y'all
that's
just
all
laughing.
We've ever done. Yeah,
yeah.
It's pretty weird. Anyway, so I'm excited to do that. I wonder if you should try doing that because it's difficult to tour.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
True. I launched a little YouTube channel called Back Porch Sessions, and I have started doing that. And I have been remiss in posting, but I totally.
How do you do that? Do you live film you or something? Or?
Yeah. And we do, you know, I try to do it as lo-fi as possible. I do it on the back porch if I can, weather depending. But I've started doing it just inside the living room, right outside the back porch, just because the sound quality is a lot better. So, and that's been neat because I'm just surprised with how many people watch this stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, it's really cool. So I'm hoping to build on that a little bit more.
That's good, sure. man. Those are, you know, these are like the new things that we have to figure out how to get it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool that people find an interesting and creative ways to do it. What else are you doing? Or have you had any other ideas?
Any other ideas? Gosh, I'm completely a blank. No.
Check this out. I had an idea. I'm just going to put out singles. I've been in this weird place for the last couple of years trying to figure out what to do. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel weird playing with the band right now. For some reason, stresses me out.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot involved.
There's a lot involved.
Oh, gosh.
And now at our age, like, we can't, and I don't mean that with bad. I mean, with our level of experience, the people that we get to play with us, you got to pay those guys.
You do. You do. And people will tell me, don't worry about it. I'm like, no.
That's not, no, man. I want to pay. And because, A, you deserve it. You're a fucking professional musician. You should be paid for what you do. Two, there's got to be some accountability. You're getting paid for what you do, so learn the songs and let's do
and
it.
And be there,
you
know what I mean? Be rehearsed and exactly.
It's nothing. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we're all pros. It's funny when you start thinking like that and you start kind of like asserting, I don't know how long you've done that, but I've always had bands of a band of people that we all, you know, lose money together and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or make money together.
Yeah.
And it's not me hiring people. When I got into that position, it was very important to me that I make sure that they're paid A, fairly because of what they do. Because I'm a musician too and I would want to be paid fairly for what I do. I don't want to go learn and, you know.
Oh, time is so valuable. I mean.
Yeah.
And to put yourself into someone's music, that's just a lot. I mean, it's You can't just put yourself into it and walk away. It's an emotional,
yeah,
like thing that you're giving up. So yeah, definitely.
So you don't really tour.
I don't tour. I'm very interested in trying to get out and do some regional stuff, and I'm working on that booking right now. So
oh really?
Yeah, I'd like to do some stuff. I'm just, you know, in the area, Southwest.
Yeah.
But like, I need to be close because I don't want to leave my kids for too long because they're just too precious.
Would you do it solo? That's a big question.
I would. I prefer to do at least a duo just because it's, you know.
When you take a duo, who's your other?
I would take Billy Masters.
Okay.
Yeah.
A guitar.
Yeah. But colorful. I've done, you know, it's been neat. The group I work with, I'm doing, you know, Billy's sometimes not available, you know, and it's like I'm kind of assembled a group of players that we can do sort of unique ensembles, you know, like I've done. Kevin Carroll has played with me, where it's just me and Kevin, and he's like ukulele. And man, it's really beautiful. The very simple stuff that you can do with just piano and ukulele and voice, and it's gorgeous.
Sometimes to me, the limitations push your creativity,
you know, to go deeper
into the song and bring out the song's own colors without a bunch of flash or anything on top.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I do. And I think that that's. It definitely is one of those where I feel like I have to step up and really, you know, own that space when I'm performing.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it's the space that you have that's the most vulnerable, you know, when you're playing like that. But I think that's what is the magic sometimes in that setup. So, and also I have a cello player I work with. And
who's that?
Her name is Carolyn Hagler. And she, she's a symphony girl. She's the second cello in the Austin Symphony.
Who's the first, Sarah?
I wonder, is it Sarah?
You know Sarah from Tosca?
I do. Yeah. She's great. She's great.
Sarah Nelson. Yeah.
Yeah, she's a sweetie too.
We did an ELO tribute concert.
Oh, you did?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Not just me and Sarah, but Skyrocket and Tosca.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, it was real cool.
You know, I feel like I saw something about that.
It was a long time ago, but it was real fun.
Cool.
Yeah, we've been threatening to do it again, but tell your friend... That's so hard.
I know it's hard.
And to do it, like to do it exactly.
Yeah.
That's thick music, man. Mm-hmm. There's so much stuff. They didn't call it the orchestra for nothing.
No.
There's a lot of stuff. There's like 83 acoustic guitars, 90 people singing. It's crazy.
I can completely relate after going through that experience with Eric.
Was his music real dense like that?
Very dense. I mean, so much going on. And just like I was saying, the vocals are just... totally intricate.
It's funny because the other guy, Jeff Lynne, went on to like produce, well, the Beatles and members of the Beatles and those Tom Petty records like Free Fallin' and stuff that are so stark and not totally drenched in ELO-ness.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is.
Maybe that guy was the real orchestrator.
Maybe so, yeah. I bet. That would make a lot of sense. It's a little much, but...
You read music, you can write music. When you sit down and write it, do you write? Can you, like, if you hear it, if you're in the car, you write it down? Like, if you have sheet music, you could write down your idea?
I can do that, but I don't do that.
Okay. But you know what it sounds like when you're writing it down?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
I don't. I would write random stuff down.
Well, I just have that, you know, formal training or whatever, but it's not really what I rely on. It's my ear, and my ear is always what I relied on, so.
Yeah.
And as far as guitar goes, I couldn't tell you what note I'm playing. You know what I mean? It's more or less, you know, at my foundation is piano.
Right.
But I kind of taught myself to play guitar, and, you know, I mean, chord changes are one thing, but, you know, other than that.
You never rock any solo? I've never seen you rock a solo.
I have a time or two, but.
You have?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you really don't want to see that.
Well, I think it would be cool.
Yeah, it's fun. I like
Trish
doing it.
Started playing solo stuff every once in a while. She plays. It's real cool. Yeah.
I bet it is. Yeah. I bet it is.
Yeah. I just had, have you ever heard Ume?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh, they're a great band from here.
Oh, okay.
And they're doing great. They just put out a record, but their guitar player, this girl, Lauren Larson, is amazing.
Wow.
And she's crazy. Like she does crazy stuff on guitar that you don't normally expect.
Cool.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exciting. Nice. Have you ever experienced horrible sexism in the music industry?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
In what way? You don't have to name names.
I just think in general, and I'm not going to say it's horrible because I think there's sort of life stuff that just kind of it is the way it is. And it doesn't really hold me back. But... You know, it's just sort of a man's world still, you know, to this day. And I think a lot of times,
why is that?
You know, I don't know. I think, you know, I think it's a sexual thing as one thing. I think it's a power thing, you know. I know that in dealing, you know, things that are really tough, I think when it comes down to the nitty gritty of that stuff is, you know, a lot of, you know, booking yourself, getting paid at the end of the night and all that kind of stuff. It gets, you know, it can be a little tough, but you just have to, you know, stand up.
And, skyrocket. It's Trish that goes and does that stuff.
I mean, she's a badass. Yeah. She is.
That's why I've never been able to, you know, I mean, I get it and I understand. I understand where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it and I come from a Latin family where, like, I remember one time when I was married, my dad saying, like, he was talking about my uncle and just how my uncle had just lost his whole manhood. And I was like, well, what happened? He's like, went to his house. And he was doing the fucking dishes. Like that simple.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, it still exists, that mentality, you know, so.
But in business,
I think in business across the board, in rock and roll or music.
Everything. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was noticing somebody sent out, I think Michael Corcoran or something sent out this list of like the musicians that are making like the most money in the world. And it was the top 100 musicians. And there were two women on that list. And they were like at the very bottom, you know.
Really?
One of them being Stevie Nicks. Yeah. And I don't even know who the other person was. Someone I don't even know. It was some like a, I don't know, someone I didn't even, had never heard of. So, but it exists. But I think, you know.
And it's weird too, because also our community, you know, like that night at the, at the awards, we were celebrating Margaret Mosier, who to me is a symbol of a strong woman, a journalist, an author, an interviewer, a strong.
Yeah.
I feel like in our community, and I feel like in the life that I live and the people that I'm around, I don't really see it that much, except for in these sort of antiquated thoughts of my dad and my grandpa and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I do. I definitely, absolutely the same. I mean, certainly the people that I spend my time with, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Complete, you know, equal playing ground and love and all that and respect. But, you know, you will notice that it's still, a female singer-songwriter is here. You know, if it was a male singer-songwriter, you probably wouldn't say male singer-songwriter is going to be here.
Right.
I mean, it's as simple as that.
Yeah, I see it. I see it more prevalently in my friends that are in the world of comedy, because they're always, and they'll do a thing where I talked to one girl one night for a long time about it. They'll go like, we would put you on tonight, but there's already a girl on.
Yeah.
It's like seven dudes. Nobody says that about dudes, but they really said that to her, like, oh, you know, we would put you on tonight, but there's already a girl on.
Yikes.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't like that at Folk Alliance, though, right?
I mean,
it seems like everyone's
so
free thinking and like everyone's on the same.
For sure. I mean, but we're all artists. I do think that
you
kind of have, you know, that you go into that with just such a different mindset as an artist. I'm talking more industry.
Yeah.
Dealing with that type of thing.
In the business world.
The business world. Yep. Exactly.
It's run by dudes.
It's run by dudes.
Yeah. White dudes. Hey, you know what? They don't like me very much, I think, in that world. I don't think that I present. I don't think that I rep. You know what I mean? There's like a certain thing they like from people.
Yeah.
And I'm not really that kind of dude.
Well, so when you get your hit single, when you get that hit single, they're going to be.
I'm still trying to get a hit single. Sorry, just that snot out of my nose at the thought of a hit single.
Yeah, no, I know it.
Is there anything that I'm missing? You have this album is great. Did we talk enough about it, or did we just talk stuff? Sorry. Sometimes
like
my show's a little too relaxed.
Gosh.
Where you go? It's an EP, and you have a release party, April 5th, 2014, 7:30 to 9 at the 1 to 1 Bar in Austin, Texas, and I say you get some stage its going. You have fans from everywhere, don't you? From the internet? I mean, don't you have? Do you?
I mean, I have a little East Coast community going.
Yeah,
that would be nice.
Get back up there.
Yeah, Definitely want to do that.
At the Rockwood, they have a piano.
Yeah, well, quite a few places up there, actually.
Oh, yeah. Pianos. Maybe pianos. Isn't there a place called Pianos? Or no?
I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't play it if there was, so.
I think there is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you don't have any plans to go up there yet?
I don't. I am working, I would say, lightly with my manager from New York, who's up there. We're not like contractually committed, but he's helping me, and he invited me to play in October the CBGB's festival.
Oh, fantastic.
But I had to turn it down because I was in the midst of my record. I just couldn't afford
this past one.
Okay. The past one. So, but I probably will do the one coming up next October. So.
Okay. Well, how do people find you if they're at amyatchley.com?
Just go to my website, amyatchley.com.
And then everything about the records will be, get it on iTunes.
That's right.
What about physical ones if people want to get them and they don't live in Texas?
They're going to be, if they don't live in Texas and physical ones, order them from my, you know, just order them from my website.
Okay.
They'll be at Waterloo, of course.
Of course.
And, you know, I am on Twitter. I just kind of started getting into that.
Did you?
Amy Atchley Music, yes.
Okay.
And my Facebook page is Amy Atchley Music as
well.
Do
you ever tweet stuff about your life?
Your Facebook
music page is Amy Atchley Music?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. Do you tweet about life or anything, or what are you tweeting about?
I'm just getting into tweeting, and at the recommendation of my publicist. So I've resisted for so long, but I'm just kind of getting into it. So
let me tell you something about the significance of Twitter.
Do tell.
And how it's great. If you follow the right people, it's super entertaining.
Is it? Yeah.
Yes. And
are you on Twitter?
Oh yeah. I'm very active. Like during award shows, I do live tweets and people all follow to get into my thing.
That's awesome.
So a lot of times I would like not see any of the movies from the Oscars, but I would be really adamant about what I thought should win because of the preview, or what I didn't like because of the preview.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, when Osama bin Laden was killed.
Oh man.
It was on Twitter 40 minutes before CNN.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. I was at my cousin's house and his wife came out of her bedroom and she said, they killed Osama bin Laden. And we were like, oh, and we put it on CNN. And we kept on saying, no, they didn't. She's like, no, it's on all these different things.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's powerful stuff.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can tweet your, you know, do you read people's mom blogs or anything?
Sometimes, yeah. I'm not a big blog follower, but more one-offs or whatnot.
Do you get, do you hang out with other moms and talk about mom stuff?
Some, yeah. I think that's why Elizabeth and I are so connected.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because we just, you know.
Rock moms.
Rock moms. Yeah.
See, that's so cool to me.
I love that. Or yeah. Have you heard of the Texas Milk group?
No.
Moms I'd Like to Know.
Oh, yeah.
That's a really cool. I've played some of their events before.
Really?
Yeah, and it's Milk Moms I'd Like to Know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's just a bunch of really cool girls that are, you know, trying to do it all, you know, have their career and their family and, you know.
How long have you and Eli been married now?
It's coming up on 20 years.
So cool.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I was a child bride.
Yeah.
Let me just.
And it worked.
It worked. It's still working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. I mean, it worked and now it doesn't. I mean,
yes,
it worked. It's worked thus far.
It has.
It was great to see you guys together at that awards again. I mean, again, like all these faces that we've seen for so long.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That was really awesome.
And to see you guys still together and smiling mm-hmm. and happy and, you know, yeah. proud of each other.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing, Amy.
Thank you. I feel so lucky. So we're still having a good time and. I love everything he's doing right now with music, and
yeah,
he's a big supporter.
Very well, yeah,
you know, of mine. So it works well. We really, you know, I think both of us being musicians, it's so helpful because we get it. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I really know how important it is to him, so I let him go, and he does the same thing with me and my music.
That's so. Really what it's about. That's what life's about.
It keeps the world turning.
Yeah. Well, I wish you a lot of luck with this album. Everyone should get it. They'll be hearing some songs from it. What's your favorite track? Just to ask a radio question.
So which one's your favorite? Amy, which one's your favorite track on here?
I would say it's probably the most delicate of all. It's the title track, Where You Go.
Okay. That's for Paris and Lulu.
It's for Paris, for my girls.
For your girls.
Yeah.
Did you write it about them?
I did. I wrote it about them. Again, when I was in Hawaii, I was, really missing them. I had never left them before.
Yeah, that's what we had talked about last time.
And so I felt such an intense, sort of separation anxiety. And I just wanted them to know, to know that sort of unconditional forever feeling of love that I have, for them. And, that's one of those songs that just wrote itself in just like a couple of minutes, how those just magically appear from the universe and the heavens. That's that song.
That's good. Well, Amy, I wish you a lot of luck. Where You Go is a fantastic album. I've listened to it actually like four times so far today. I just kept on starting it over.
Thank you.
Sounds good through my stereo speakers.
Awesome.
I hate listening through those things. It drives me crazy because they all sound like like just a Joe's stereo where they have to have like a lot of bass.
Yeah.
You know how that is weird?
I do know how that's weird.
Why do people want that?
Yeah.
So these come with no, you can't equalize on like those things you stick your iPod into.
I know. I hate that too.
Yeah. So I just went with my old school stereo and it sounded great on there.
Sweet.
Danny did a fantastic job. The band is great. Friday, April 5th.
That's right. No, Saturday.
Saturday, April 5th. Sorry. Saturday, April 5th at the 1-to-1 bar in Austin, Texas.
Yes.
I will not be here, so I will not be able to attend. Oh, are you sad about Flipnotics?
So sad. So sad about Flipnotics.
That's a big place. That's another part of our sort of
classes. Exactly.
Our whole class of people did stuff there.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, I would say Flipnotics, was one of my musical home bases. So I was really sad to see it go.
Me too.
So...
it hasn't been for me for a long time, but it was very sad to see that it was closing.
Yeah, yeah. Another icon, Austin icon, is closing its doors, We're changing, and, it's sad when venues like that close.
That room had a lot of... I mean, that's the first place I ever saw Bob Schneider play a solo acoustic show.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I can think of just so many incredible shows there that just, it's a great sounding little room.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I remember seeing. Didn't you and Pam do stuff there? We did. We did like. Remember, I did a songwriter in the round.
Yeah.
For a while there.
Yeah.
That place.
I do remember that.
We're gonna miss it.
We'll miss you, Flipnotics.
Yeah, we'll miss you, Flipnotics. Are you okay with the rest of Austin's changes? Are you growing with it?
You know what it is? It's like, it's not gonna stop. So you're gonna have to, find your way. And I think, let's just keep doing what we're doing to keep Austin. And
it doesn't necessarily have to be weird. That whole thing creeps me out.
Like keep Austin weird.
It doesn't have to work on that at all.
No, I agree. It's but really not... what I think about Austin though is not necessarily the weird thing, but it is. Austin is a different, unique place, and I don't think that growth has to change it. But I mean, it's important that we stay and continue that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it will, continue. It'll just, corporate out and, it'll turn into, just one big suburban sprawl.
Yeah.
No. So we just, keep doing what we're doing and making
keeping
music.
It unique. Where You Go, the new album from Amy Atchley. Get it where all records are sold. Not Target, but you know what I mean. Where good records are sold and online at amyatchley.com, you can buy them, and they'll be available on iTunes and all that stuff.
Yes.
April 1st and April 5th, go see her and her band at the 1-to-1 bar, 7:30 to 9. Long show. I hope I get to... Do you have anything else booked at all?
The next thing I'm doing is a little thing at Strange Brew with Ernie Dirawa.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be one of his guests on May 20th.
Okay.
That's the next thing on the books. So.
Okay. That's a great room.
I'm excited.
That's going to... I mean, that kind of surpasses Flipnotics because it actually sounded like Flipnotics didn't always sound good or anything like that. It was always kind of funky. It just had a good vibe. But this place is good, too.
Beautiful sounding room. Yeah.
Well, congratulations on your album.
Thank you.
And everyone get out there and buy it. Let your voice be heard. Amy Atchley at amyatchley.com. You're going to find. Amy Atchley, her new album is available Tuesday, April 1st, 2014. Where You Go, that's the name of it. She's also having if you're in Austin, go to her album release party, April 5th, 7:30 to 9 at the 1-to-1 bar, 1509 South Lamar. Boulevard, Austin, Texas. All right, Amy Ashley, great hang, great old friend. I love her. I love her husband, Eli. This is a fantastic thing that she's out there making records that makes me happy. I like that people have to express themselves. I have to express myself. I have this podcast with which I express myself, but also I'm working on songs, going to start releasing them one single at a time. Yeah, that's getting weird. But I'm figuring out how to do it, and I'm learning. So, hey, listen, while you're at iTunes buying Where You Go by Amy Achley, which is available April 1st, 2014, subscribe to this podcast, How Did I Get Here, and leave us a comment and a rating. That helps our overall rating to secure advertising to keep the show free to you, the listener, which is very important. Also, if you want to get involved with the podcast, kind of know what's going on, see some pictures of people, like maybe a picture of me and Amy, you can go to my Facebook page or our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? It's on Facebook. You can like it, see pictures, find out who's coming on the show, find out what's going on with me. And if you want to follow me in my life in 140 characters or less, and maybe in photos, you can follow me on Instagram or on Twitter. I am at Johnny Gowdy. Let's listen to some more Amy Achley and her album, Where You Go. We're going to listen to a song that she talked about called Where You Go, which is the title track for Paris and Lulu, a song that she wrote for her daughter. So sit back, enjoy some Amy Achley. Get out there. Her album's available April 1st, 2014 on the iTunes and amyachley.com. Don't forget that I care about you and I appreciate that you listen to this show. It really does mean a lot to me. The fact that you have to choose to listen to it is not lost on me. So thank you very much. I hope you're having a great weekend. Y'all have a great weekend if you're listening to it on Friday. I like my rock radio voice guy. Hey, y'all have a great weekend, man. It's Friday. Fuck work. All right, here's some more of me, actually. Let's get down.
Where you go, my heart knows how to find you. Always there beside you, watching and to guide you forever. This I know is true. Together, and I'm always gonna love you. When you go, always know you have a place that you call home. Heart to heart, never part, it's you and I will follow forever. This I know is true. Together, I'll always love you. It's okay, fly.